Podemos começar? Boa tarde. Bem-vindas à Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros da Assembleia da República Portuguesa. Para nós é um prazer ter-vos aqui. A indicação que temos é que podemos falar em português pausadamente, que não há problema. Temos neste momento, para nós nos apresentarmos deste lado, deputados desde o PS, do Bloco de Esquerda e do PCP. Não temos ainda representantes do PSD e do CDS, os partidos da direita parlamentar. Porventura chegarão durante a nossa conversa. Nós tínhamos previsto organizarmos esta reunião nos seguintes termos: dar-lhe espaço para inicialmente poder fazer uma intervenção de apresentação e depois abrirmos um conjunto de perguntas de cada um dos grupos parlamentares. Se aparecer bem, então passo já a palavra, insistindo nos agradecimentos e na simpatia da sua presença. Muito obrigado.
Sim. Sim, perfeito. Muito obrigada. Agradeço à Comissão de Negócios Estrangeiros e ao Presidente pela oportunidade de apresentar a Fundação União Europeia, América Latina e Caraíbas pela primeira vez na Assembleia Portuguesa. Como foi indicado, dirijo a Fundação ULAC desde fevereiro de 2016, em seguimento da designação por parte do Conselho de Governadores. E tenho o prazer de representá-la em conjunto com o nosso presidente pro bono, o Dr. Leonel Fernandes, ex-presidente da República Dominicana. Se me permite, continuarei a apresentação da Fundação e do seu trabalho em inglês. Por favor, seja bem-vindo sem fazer pergunta em português ao final. The ULAC Foundation was created in 2010 by the 33 head of state and government of the CELAC, the 28 member states of the EU and the European Union itself, and in the framework of the bi-regional strategic partnership established in 1999 by the head of state and government in Rio de Janeiro. It began its operation by the end of 2011 from its headquarters in Hamburg, Germany. So in reality, it's a young organization with just 5 years of life. The member of the foundation trusted it with the mission of strengthening the EU-CELAC bi-regional partnership process, involving participation and inputs of civil society and other social actors, encourage further mutual knowledge and understanding between both regions, and enhance the mutual visibility as well as that of the bi-regional partnership itself. The foundation is therefore an instrument of the bi-regional partnership, and its activities are guided by the Intergovernmental Agenda, the Summit Declaration, and the EU-CELAC Action Plan. It has an intergovernmental nature and is accountable to a board of governors comprised by senior officials of the 62 members. In the last CELAC-EU ministerial meeting held in October 2016 in Santo Domingo, the agreement transforming the foundation into an international organization was signed. Once the minimum threshold of ratification is achieved, 8 for each region, the foundation will become the Euro International Organization, a statute appropriate to its mandate and structure. And we thank indeed Portugal for the signature of the agreement in Santo Domingo, and we look forward for a swift ratification process. In what concerns the daily activities, the Foundation organized what we call the Reflection Fora on the EU-CELAC relation, seminar for discussion between members and other key stakeholders. These seek to identify concrete proposals to advance on the intergovernmental agenda and as a byproduct foster exchanges between officials which contribute in confidence building between the two parties. We also play a facilitating role for some initiatives such as the development of the EU CELAC knowledge area. And in this regard, we are coordinating with the two presidencies from the EU and the pro tempore presidency of CELAC for the organization of the next Knowledge Summit in El Salvador, which will accompany and complement the CELAC EU Summit to be celebrated in October in San Salvador. The Foundation places particular focus on the sub-region, which have had a less prominent participation in the bi-regional partnership, to raise awareness to the opportunities they present. We have in the past organized activities particularly dedicated to the Visegrad countries. In 2016-17, we have focused on the Caribbean. And for this year, we have started new activities focusing on the Baltic state. Indeed, this maybe doesn't concern necessarily Portugal, which has always had a very prominent role in the bi-regional relationship, but it's important for other countries. And for this reason also, we are here this week because together with the IPDAL, the Instituto para Promoção da América Latina e Caraíbas, we have worked to include the Caribbean in their core work and to raise awareness to the potential of stronger relation between Portugal and this sub-region. And we are very happy to see that IPDAL has embraced this challenge and sees also the opportunity even to change its name and to include the Caribbean in its name. And they have also, and we are supporting them, organize a special session on the Caribbean that will take place this Wednesday morning at the Universidad de Lusíada. And indeed, you are invited to participate also in these activities. Another important part of our work concerns the promotion of bi-regional research. Since 2013, we have commissioned about 20 studies and reports on themes of the bi-regional agenda, such as climate change, gender, trade, and other. All of these studies are available in digital format on our website, and you are welcome to browse them. Among the most recent publication, there is one dedicated to intra-industrial trade, looking specifically at the case of Brazil and Mexico. Another one, which has been published just a couple of weeks ago, is a vademecum to help especially NGOs to navigate EU instrument of cooperation relevant for the EU-CELAC relation. You can also find most of the publication in Lisbon at the Jacques Delors Library of the Jacques Delors European Information Center, the national repository of our publication in Portugal. In 2017, we have planned and we are preparing four new studies, one on food security, one on the funding of the energy transition in the two regions, one on the comparison of the academic system in the EU and CELAC countries, and one on the Caribbean in the EU-CELAC partnership. All of these studies are prepared by bi-regional group of researchers, which are selected through a competitive process. So you are also welcome to give more visibility to this call for proposal in order to see also more participation from this country and this region. The Foundation provides also a number of information instruments online. One is a digital library, which is specialized in EU-CELAC relation. Another instrument is MAPEO, which is a database of organizations operating in the two regions. We publish three times a year a newsletter on themes relevant to the EU-CELAC relation. You can subscribe to it in our website. The next edition will be on culture for social transformation, and we are preparing already the next one, which will be dedicated to entrepreneurship and sustainable development. In 2015, we have also worked on a map on industrial clusters in Latin America, Europe, and the Caribbean. We have started with a pilot phase, and it's continued to be increased this year, thanks to funding from the Italian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The platform is being developed to include also Colombia as a way also to favor the post-conflict reinsertion of militants. In the area of small and medium-sized enterprise, we are working on industrial cluster, and just now there is a call for proposal open, which objective it's to favor the creation of a network of industrial cluster across the two regions, and also to collect information and best practices in this area. The next call for proposal that we plan to launch still this week is on corporate social responsibility. And again, the idea is to help the creation of a bi-regional network of practitioners and to favor exchange of information. Also, for this call for proposal, which are published in our website and in our social media, we will appreciate your cooperation to make them better known. And on the subject of small and medium-sized enterprise, we have also recently published a study on the internationalization of Latin America SMEs in Europe. I have already referred before to the focus on higher education and innovation. In general, we support efforts to increase the connection among universities and research institutions and reach a system where knowledge can flow more freely and graduates can get their study mutually recognized more easily. Our interest is to make our activities even more useful to the partnership and our member, and it is our deep interest to work closely with Portugal, both through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is our main counterpart, and organization based in the country. During these weeks, this is already my second official visit to Portugal since I assume function as executive director. We will hold meeting with Fundação Gulbenkian, with the Instituto Português de Relações Internacionais, com a Universidade Nova, and indeed with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And indeed, I have two colleagues accompanying me this week, and they are both Portuguese nationals. So since our team is a team of nine people, you will see that Portugal is overrepresented in our team. Finalmente, não quero terminar essa apresentação sem expressar o nosso sincero agradecimento pelo apoio contínuo de Portugal à Fundação e a sua contribuição voluntária ao nosso orçamento anual, incluindo também o apoio da instituição da União Europeia. Muito obrigada.
Muito obrigado pela sua apresentação. Passava agora então a palavra ao Partido Socialista, à senhora deputada Isabel Santos.
Antes de mais, muito obrigado pela explanação que trouxe aqui, pela apresentação que fez da vossa fundação. É sempre extremamente importante que, para além das cimeiras ministeriais, existam corpos que trabalham esta relação e que envolvem a sociedade civil naquilo que é importante fazer para que esses acordos obtidos em cimeiras tenham uma tradução real na vida dos cidadãos. E isso é sempre extremamente importante, e com tão poucos anos de atividade, eu diria que é surpreendente o nível de produção que apresentam já neste momento naquilo que tem a ver com diversos estudos. Eu só colocaria aqui duas ou três questões em termos de ensino superior e inovação, porque é uma área onde nós temos, de facto, muitas pessoas que vêm da América Latina, sobretudo, também Caraíbas, mas sobretudo América Latina, estudar cá para Portugal. Quais são as principais preocupações que estão neste momento em discussão e quais são os objetivos que delineariam em termos futuros para o desenvolvimento de relações mútuas com o empenho de Portugal. A outra questão tem também a ver com aquilo questões relacionadas com a segurança. O que é que neste momento está exatamente em discussão e em agenda? Eram estas as principais questões. Exatamente, ficava por aqui com estas questões, agradecendo de novo a vossa disponibilidade.
E agora, a Sra. Deputada Carla Cruz, do PCP, terá que se ausentar rapidamente, mas força.
Obrigada, Sr. Presidente. Cumprimento em nome do Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Comunista Português a Presidente da Fundação e os representantes. Agradecer a apresentação que nos fez. Eu não irei fazer nenhuma pergunta porque vou ter que me ausentar porque já iniciou um outro grupo de trabalho de uma outra comissão em que tenho que estar presente, mas não queria deixar de vos cumprimentar e, sobretudo, reafirmar aquilo que foi feito na cimeira de 2015 entre a União Europeia e a CELAC, os princípios que nortearam, não é? Da cooperação mutuamente vantajosa, da erradicação, dos projetos que estão subjacentes, como a continuação da erradicação da pobreza e da fome, e, portanto, de todos esses processos do multilateralismo e do bilateralismo que ainda existe e que subsiste, e gostava de reafirmar esses primados que penso que são importantes e que deveriam até ser exemplo para outras relações que com outros Estados e com outros polos. Muito obrigada.
E agora, despindo um pouco a minha função de Presidente e assumindo a de Deputado do Grupo Parlamentar do Bloco de Esquerda, acompanhar também a saudação ao trabalho que está a ser levado por diante pela Fundação. Desejar sucesso na rápida transformação para Instituto Internacional com as benesses que daí podem advir. Dar nota da nossa opinião da importância que tem o relacionamento entre estas duas regiões e no que isso pode significar, quer para o cimentar da democracia, por um lado, quer para a valorização de direitos, por outro, quer para com aquilo que é, desde há muito, património de Portugal, o podermos ter os dois lados do Atlântico ligados agora de uma forma mais positiva do que aconteceu em séculos passados. Nesse contexto, colocar duas questões concretas. Focou um trabalho de investigação sobre a segurança alimentar. Esse é um tema que tem estado em cima da mesa e perguntar-lhe sobre o estado desse trabalho e os avanços que daí podem advir. E o segundo, secundando até o que foi dito já pela Sra. Deputada Isabel Santos, no que toca ao relacionamento entre as universidades das duas regiões, sendo que do ponto de vista europeu existiu na última década, nas últimas duas décadas, um trabalho de equiparação entre os graus académicos. Não existe esse trabalho feito da mesma forma entre as duas regiões, porque no caso da América Latina e Caraíbas, mesmo entre si, esse trabalho está ainda numa fase muito inicial. Isso significa que muitas das vezes há oportunidades que são perdidas e há desconfianças que são levantadas. No caso português, até pela proximidade que nós temos com um dos Estados da América Latina, que é o Brasil, temos alguma experiência no passado de equiparação de cursos e do que isso significou de dificuldades, de romper muitas das vezes com posições corporativas de ordens profissionais, etc. E por isso perguntar quais são as vossas metas para esse percurso numa temática que para nós é essencial, porque aí é onde nós poderemos dar o salto maior na troca de conhecimento e na criação das pontes de diálogo que seriam necessárias. Obrigado pela vossa disponibilidade e essas são essas as perguntas que deixo.
Many thanks for your attention, for your question, and I'm sorry that I have to reply in English, but first of all, maybe I will focus on the area of higher education and innovation, since I have been at least two questions on this. Indeed, in the case of the European Union, we have gone through the process of Bologna, which has taken many years, but we were already starting from a system which had a certain link and similarity. In the case of Latin America, we have a very dispersed situation, and also we have, and I say it here in this group, issues related also to quality, with a proliferation of higher education institutions which do not necessarily meet the necessary standard. And the problem is in first place for the country concerned and for their citizens, because we have now in Latin America and the Caribbean 2/3 of the students that enter higher education for the first time in their families. The fact that there is not a sufficient standard of quality implies as well that family invest in the education of their children, but they don't necessarily get the necessary quality, and therefore there is an issue which is very relevant. And then you have the difficulties on both sides of accepting reciprocally standards. So it will necessarily be a long process, but as you say, it is a process where there are a lot of opportunities for both sides. There is intellectual migration in both directions, and whoever has gone through a process of recognition of title know of all the difficulties that this implies. However, we have also some positive experience, for instance, linked to the joint degree developed under the Erasmus Plus program. And we see there an opportunity to expand even more the system and create opportunities where students can study in their own country but receive titles that are recognized also in the other region. At the very minimum, I think we should obtain a system that could increase progressively of recognition of credit to allow, if not the recognition of titles as such, where you have already indicated all the difficulties in the equivalence between different countries, but this would allow the mobility of students that we have seen in Europe with the Erasmus program. To do so, we are supporting the bi-regional networks of university and academics, and in particular for this year of the summit, we are working in the preparation of a knowledge summit. It will be the first of this kind, because we have had in the past, at least in both in Santiago de Chile and in Brussels, an academic summit accompanying the EU CELAC head of state and government Women Summit, which was, however, limited to the area of higher education. It was not necessarily involving also the aspect of innovation and research. And one disadvantage was also that it was not necessarily an inclusive process. You know, from your experience at Hoffman in academia, there are a lot of there is a lot of competition, and therefore you have to surpass this obstacle in order to allow a discussion involving as many actors as possible, actors representative of the two regions, of all the countries involved, not only of some countries, involving also the different categories, as it has been the case for the Bologna process, where there were the rectors, there were the professor, there were the staff of the university, and there were the students and the alumni. So we would like to be able to reproduce a similar process for the EU CELAC, with the recognition indeed that it will be a longer process, but you have to start with an incremental process in order to reach results. This on innovation and higher education. Also in terms of security, this is an area where the foundation has so far had a limited role, and this has to do with the sensitivities among member states. Indeed, this is an area where you have different positions, also different understanding of the role that an organization like ours can play in this area. However, this year we are working on a seminar that will take place in Hamburg in September. And it will be a seminar, in fact, that will be relevant also from the perspective of Portugal, because it will look at the migration policies from the point of view of the country of origins. So our interest is to give the possibility and to foster more exchanges about the experience of country of origin in Latin America, in the Caribbean, and in Europe in terms of political participation, in terms of social inclusion, and in terms of economic inclusion based on remittances and the possibility of developing specific program for the diaspora. And indeed, in Europe, you have countries like Portugal, like Italy, they have developed this policy in a more proactive way, and other countries that have less of an experience, and the same happens on the other side. So we think that this is a way to approach an issue related to security and migration, but with an aspect that will not create the resistance that you might see when dealing with other aspects of the security agenda, and more from the social aspect. You have asked about the study on food security and food sovereignty. It's a study which is not yet fully concluded. We hope to be able to publish in the next months, 6 weeks. It's a study which has been developed by researchers from the University of Salamanca in Spain and from the University of Havana in Cuba, and has taken as a perspective the comparison between food security in two countries, Cuba and Spain, and see which lesson could be drawn also more generally for the bi-regional relation. Since we know now that you have a specific interest in this study, we will inform you when the study will be published so that you can have access and know when it's ready. As for the other studies, it will be published both in Spanish and in English. With one point that I think it's relevant also, and following up on the comment on the future of the relation and on future cooperation, I think one of the elements of concern, especially from the side of some of the Latin American and Caribbean partner, it's the fact that because of the level of development, or rather because of the way the level of development is calculated based on average per capita rent, GDP, some of the country of Latin America and the Caribbean will not be eligible anymore for bilateral development cooperation from the European Union. Some already during 2017. Indeed, the fact that country move up in the income scale, it's a positive aspect. At the same time, averages hid a lot of inequalities. Latin America and the Caribbean continue to be the region in the world which higher disparity in income, while Latin America has reduced in the last decade this disparity, but it still remains the most unequal region. The Caribbean has not seen this development, so there is even there not only good news, and still you have a major pocket of poverty in the country concerned. So it is an element of concern also because at the time the EU, Latin America and the Caribbean develop a bi-regional partnership, it's difficult to do so if you have instruments that can apply to some countries but not all of them. And taking also into account that a lot of programs look at phenomena which are international and global in nature and don't look at borders like security, like climate change, it will be difficult to have a coherent policy if some of the countries are not admitted. And this goes even farther because indeed one of the aspects, and I think it was mentioned here today, one of the aspects that we all want to see developing is South-South cooperation and triangular cooperation, but the countries that will not be eligible anymore for EU bilateral cooperation will also not be able to be part of this triangular scheme. So we will find ourselves in a situation where you would like to develop triangular cooperation, and typically you have this scheme between a more developed country or region and an intermediate country or region and a less developed country. But suddenly the intermediate link is missing. So it's something that possibly will come also on your table of your commission, and you might look at this particular aspect. I hope I covered all your question. If not, I'm ready to go back to any of them.
Obrigado. Perfeitas todas as perguntas. Queria indicar também agora, temos aqui o Sr. Deputado José Cesário do Partido Social Democrata. da nossa parte agradecemos muito esta visita, esperamos que não seja uma primeira e última vez, que possamos reunir novamente e desejamos felicidades para o vosso trabalho futuro. Muito obrigado.
Obrigada. Tenho que dizer que a segunda visita em Portugal é uma exceção, porque temos 61 membros e visitei até agora um número muito pequeno e normalmente uma vez máximo. Então, isso é uma situação muito especial.